Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. On this cold winter morning, when most of Billings has not yet awakened, we head down to Montana Avenue. On this Wednesday, just before 6, we meet up with Veronica Bockheimer, the owner and baker at Veronica's Pastry Shop. The bakery offers up a variety of goods with inspirations from France, Eastern Europe, and Russia. Come with me as we enter the shop through the back door.
There. All right, so the door is closed.
Now that the lights are on, we step into a small space where a sink, refrigerators, and freezers are located. We then head into the bakery, a long space with windows onto the street. Veronica flicks on the exhaust hood, the oven, and the proofer.
The first thing in the morning, I turn my oven, my proofer, and my fan. Then I start getting ready. I would put my apron, my hairnet, and wash my hands, and start rolling. Okay.
From Monday to Friday, Veronica comes in between 5 and 6. The days at the end of the week are busier, so she bakes more product. This means she can sleep during the early part of the week. Veronica finds solace in her work. When she gets in, she turns on all the machinery she needs to make her pastries. But there is no television or radio that comes on.
Because I usually pretty quiet in the morning because I'm by myself. I don't sing. And some people say, oh, Veronica, you need some music here. And, you know, it's pretty loud in my kitchen, so extra noise. Just a little bit too much for me.
Before we do some baking with Veronica, we will fast forward to later in the morning when we come back to talk to her after all the baking has been done and she is ready for customers. But don't worry, we will return to the kitchen to work with Veronica. Veronica's pastry shop, located across the street from the railroad tracks, is a bright, cozy space. The moment you step in, the aroma of butter and sugar envelopes you and pulls you into the shop. Once in, Veronica greets you enthusiastically as though you are an old friend. On the wall are photos. There's one of her grandmother, Paulina, and snapshots of pastries. Behind the counter, on the top shelf, are Russian nesting dolls, decorated Russian folk art plates and vessels. Below are two rows of pastries with labels written in English and Russian. Depending on the day, Veronica offers up anywhere from 7 varieties to over a dozen. Let's get to know Veronica Bockheimer. It's been 2 years, over 2 years, that you've had this bakery. I remember being here when you first opened. I see the confidence. I see your pastries, even though they were very beautiful in the beginning, that I think they sparkle more these days. How has it been in the last 2 years?
You know, it's been wonderful. It's been, like you said, I get more confidence. I have regular customers, my loyal customers. Some customers I know by names, and some customers I recognize just by their face. And you know, the last 2 years were wonderful. I love it every day. I had one customer 2 years ago, and he said, you know, some people open the business and they think they love it, but after a year or two, they hate what they're doing. I would tell that I still love it every day. I come to work, I'm excited to open the door, and I'm happy when people come and they say, Veronica, I love your chocolate croissants, I love your danishes, and it's fresh baked. I try to get in the morning about two and a half hours before I open the shop, and everything is done by 8 o'clock. So yes, Stella, I think I'm doing great. I love it.
Well, I watched you this morning and I could see you. It was clockwork, and you did tell me, and you work in silence, which means that your brain is totally focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't like interruptions. I don't answer the phone. I don't open the door if somebody knocking in the window, because every minute is counting. So I know how long it takes for me to put fillings in the pastry. I know how long it takes to prove the oven timer. So everything is so precise.
For baking, precision is the key. Let's head back into the kitchen and hear from Veronica as she makes the backbone, the heart of her baked goods, the puff pastry. Puff pastry is created by interlacing layers of butter and yeasted dough together. When the puff pastry bakes, the butter melts, forming air pockets, while the dough rises and springs up. Veronica uses the term brioche, which means dough mostly made up of butter. Last night, Veronica prepared a block of butter about an 8-inch square. That's 1/2 inch thick.
Last night, I made just regular brioche. It's a yeasty dough, and I use bread flour. And I also prepared a block of butter. So this morning, I will put rolled butter into my dough. You know, there is another way. Some recipe calls for really cold butter. I don't use really cold butter because it will break the texture of the dough. So I always make it a little bit softer, but not soft. Just kind of like a clay, like for the kids to play with. So it's really nice, good consistency.
Oh, it's just pliable, so you can work it a little bit. So what you're doing is you're taking the butter and running it through your...
A few times through my machine to make it softer, and yeah.
And this machine is almost like a big press, like a big pasta maker.
But it is. It's a dough sheeter. Actually what I have, it's the smallest one you can buy for commercial kitchen. It's a dough sheeter. It makes here in the United States, and it works great for me. Yeah, it's a countertop dough sheeter, okay?
So you've run it through about 4 times.
I don't really count how many times.
You go by, again, feel.
I just go by eyeball it. I feel it. If it's soft enough for me to use it, then it's good to go.
Okay.
And of course, I have to set different setting here. So that's just the first few folds. Then I adjust the thickness.
Now that the butter has been softened, thinned, and flattened, Veronica pulls her dough out of the... Wow, Marilyn. Now that the butter has been softened, thinned, and flattened, Veronica pulls her dough out of the refrigerator.
The dough was made last night. It's pretty cold. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So.
And you're dusting it with flour.
Yeah, to prevent from sticking. And again, I'm not big bakery, so I make just small batches. It's easier for me to work with. So I know in the big, large bakeries, they have a large slop of dough. But I noticed this one works for me. Okay, so brush off extra flour from the top. And now I'm putting butter right in the middle.
The butter that you pressed earlier.
Yep, so just make it a little bit softer and pliable.
You put it in the middle and then you fold the sides
just,
over.
Yep, kind of. And just sprinkle a little bit with flour again. And now I will run it through the machine. I opened my business. I used to make puff pastry dough and roll it by hand. That was really challenging.
That's really hard work.
It is hard work, and you have to make sure all layers are even. But what I really like about this machine, because it gives you such a precise, it's just all layers the same. I just love it.
So you run it back and forth maybe a dozen times or so.
Oh yeah, it's more than a dozen. So you have to be gentle to your dough. You cannot put a big pressure right away. So once it's about 4 times longer than it was, I kind of stopped, and then I have to trim the edges, right? Edges. Just take extra dough because this dough has no butter, mm-hmm. And we want to make sure my puff pastry has all nice layers.
And then after you trim, basically you put all...
I just fold again. Fold it, goes back in the fridge for another 20-25 minutes or so, and then I roll it again, and I do that 3 times.
Not only is there finesse required in making the puff pastry dough, but attention is required when baking it.
Once you put stuff in the oven, do not open the oven within 15 to 20 minutes. So while the dough rises, the butter melts and creates that air pocket. So if you will open the door, the oven door, you will let the air in the oven and your puff pastry will go flat because you will lose those air pockets. So that's why it's really important. If you want to have a nice crispy puff pastry, it doesn't matter if it's a yeasty dough or not, do not open the oven door within 15 to 20 minutes.
The puff pastries used in Veronica's danishes, filled with chocolate, cream cheese, blackberries or raspberries or apples, or a delectable jam. My favorite is her raisin escargot. She playfully names this pastry that is rolled up into a snail, spread with a custard cream and filled with rum-soaked raisins. But the crowning pastry in her shop is the Queen Amon, a caramelized melange of butter, dough, and sugar baked in a tart pan. The Queen Amon begins with four puff pastry squares.
So she's got pre-cut puff pastry.
Yep.
They're about, I guess, 2 inches square.
Right, like I said, what makes me different because I just feel what's right, and I'm making it, I'm doing it, and but yeah, I'm honestly, I do try to stay more consistent. Like when I make my puff pastry dough, of course I have to follow the recipe. I have to make sure the weights and measure the sugar or flour, so it has to be consistent, not just eyeball it. But when I do my pre-cuts, I just kind of take my roller. Okay, so for pinwheels, it's a 12 centimeters. For my Queen Amon, I usually do 5 centimeters. And I'm sorry, I still use centimeters, not inches, because it's easier for me.
Veronica's Pastry Shop is one of the few places one can buy this traditional pastry from Brittany.
Queen Amon, practically, it's a puff pastry dough layered with sugar. And, you know, there is some places, lots of places in, actually in United States, as far as I know, there is only 5 shops who made Queen Amon. In Billings, I make Queen Amon, and the Field House, I think they make Queen Amon too, but they put some fillings in it. I do not use fillings. I stay with traditional recipe, and I notice that what people like. So actually, it's a puff pastry with layered sugar.
So really, you're now putting the 4 squares together and pressing them.
And pressing them together, yep. So, but then I will roll them and put in a little tin. Because when the dough rises, I want them to stay in the same shape. I don't want them to get lopsided or loose because puff pastry will go crazy in the oven. They bloom like a flower. Some of them perfect and some of them not so much. And I just roll it. And I fold it.
So you've taken the corners together and basically bring them together and you form this beautiful blossom. No, it's amazing. It can't get better than layered butter and layered sugar.
Sugar, yes. They look like caramel rolls, but they're not really caramel rolls. Some people say, oh, is it cinnamon rolls? I'm like, no, they're not cinnamon. I don't put any cinnamon, even though I think you can.
In my book, I don't need cinnamon or any other spice, as Veronica's Queen Amon with sugar is just plain delicious. Come back to the second part of Flavors to hear more about Veronica's sweet success. Welcome back to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. We return to Veronica's pastry shop in Billings on Montana Avenue. On this morning, right after Veronica has opened, we meet up with some of the first customers of the day. We begin with talking to Donnie Kaiser.
You're the first customer today. Have you been here before?
Once or twice.
And what did you order up today?
Just a various variety of pastries. Got a couple danishes. I think I got a chocolate croissant.
Are you taking these back to the office?
I'm taking these to my wife. She's sick at home. She's recovering from surgery right now, so just ran the kids to school and now running home to run these to her.
This is really sweet of you.
Yeah, I try to make her happy.
Is this one of the places that she really likes?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, whenever she wants a pastry, this is the go-to place.
I hope she feels better, and what a great gesture on your part.
Well, thank you.
We next talked to Duane and Eugenia Winslow, who were visiting Veronica's pastry shop for the first time.
But I have not been in here before. We just saw it. My wife saw it on the website, or I think you're looking through the internet or something. And actually, up in Missoula, they have a really good bakery where I used to go every once in a while when I'd be on trips and I'd get the chocolate croissants. And there was like nothing that had really good homemade bakery until I saw this. And so we're very excited about it.
Let's go back to our conversation with Veronica.
I believe that you are self-taught. You did not go to culinary school.
I do not, you're right. I self-taught it, and I would say the love for pastries, and not necessarily for pastries, for baking and cooking, I got this love from my grandma. Not necessarily from my mom. My mom didn't really bake much.
And what is your grandmother's name?
No, in Russia, her name is Поля, Полина, but probably you guys will call it Paula, but it's Polina. Polina Vasilievna. Barashkina Polina Vasilievna. But then I start watching YouTube, reading books and explore more. But the unique thing about my pastry is the pastry dough, the recipe is mine. So it's not like you open a cookbook and you just see how much butter, how much flour, how much water. So there is a secret ingredient, and I'm sorry I cannot share with you.
But what you did was you sourced the butter that worked for you, and you sourced the flour that worked for you, and the technique.
Yes, absolutely. Flour, yes. Butter, yes. And there is, you have to know the right combination of milk and water. Some recipes calls for half and half, half of water, half of milk. Some recipes calls just for the water. And I found perfect recipe that would give a delicious flavor to my pastries.
So I noticed that, here it's so wonderful because you not only have your pastries written in English, but they're also written in Russian.
Yes, and actually that was idea of my husband. He says, if you call yourself Russian or Eastern European, you need to put Russian letters, the name of your pastries. And you know what's so funny? I have some customers that are trying to read it. And I have a few who said, I took some Russian in college, or I was in Russia. It's really fun. And especially kids, they're trying to say, what is it said? What kind of letter is that? So it's cool.
So what kind of relationship did you have with your grandmother?
The best. I love her. I think about her every day. And I even have her picture in my shop. I wish she would see it. And I'm sure if she would see what I have, she would be so proud of it.
Is she still alive?
No, my grandma passed away about 30 years ago.
The memory and spirit of Polina remain with a photo of her on the wall of the bakery.
Looking at these pastries today, it looks like you bake anywhere from maybe 50 to 100 pastries a day.
It varies. It depends on the season, depends on the type of the weather I have. Today, for instance, I would say less than 100. I would say Monday, Tuesday, not as busy as the end of the week, like Thursday, Friday. And I did change my business hours. When I opened, I used to work Tuesday through Saturday. And after serving 2 years, I changed my days off. So now I work Monday through Friday. That's why the quantity of my pastry is not big, because I don't like to carry stuff overnight and I like to bake fresh. So today was about maybe 70, 70 pastries altogether. My hours from 8 till 2 o'clock, usually by 2 everything is gone. But if there is a few pastries left, like half a dozen, and I have last customer and he wants or she wants only one or two, then I try to offer a bargain. I said, how about if you will take all six for the price of four, for instance, and it works. Yeah, so that's what I do. If I have one or two, I usually take it home. And I have a few friends, so my neighbors, and I just offer to them.
Needless to say, I think I might try to move into Veronica's neighborhood.
You obviously, I would just say, look like you don't eat a whole lot of pastries, and a lot of bakers actually don't eat pastries. Do you enjoy pastries?
You know, actually, I love my own pastries. I do have breakfast about like 4 o'clock in the morning at home before I leave the house. And by noon, I usually get hungry. So what I do, I just grab one of my pastries and with a glass of milk or maybe just without milk. And I love my pastries. If I love it, I know people like it.
No, this is very, very good to hear, and they are very delicious. Now, how did this idea come, opening a bakery? Because I met up with you today before 6 o'clock, and normally you're probably in here by 5 o'clock in the morning. Day in and day out, you get up early, and you come and you bake your pastry. What drives you to do it? And let's just step back. What initiated this whole idea?
When I first moved to the United States, of course, possibly, like if somebody will tell me, Veronica, you would have a business on your own someday.
And when did you move to the United States?
I moved to the United States in 1999. It was on my birthday, August 12th. I remember we celebrated early in the morning with my friends in Moscow. I got on the plane, and when I got to Salt Lake City, it's still August 12th, so it was the longest birthday ever. And I couldn't speak English. I could say just a few words, how do you do, good morning, all the stuff. So never thought that I will have my own business. And I had jobs, like 95% of population. Like my very first job was working for Walmart, and then I worked for various places. But then later I thought, you know, why not? I think I can do it. And I start working from home first. I start getting clients, customers. And then I like, you know what? If I have enough customers who call on me and placing orders for cakes or pastries, I want customers come to me, to my shop. Before I opened my business, I probably debating, was thinking about a year before I quit my regular job, and then I pour myself into the business.
Veronica arrived on United States soil alone with her daughter Anna, and immediately realized she had to take action in providing a livelihood for the two of them.
I always like to challenge myself since I was a little young kid. So, but being in the United States, I know some people, the foreigners, I'm talking about immigrants, they have some sort of support. They have family who give them first, how would I say that? They help them to find a job, or maybe they're not necessarily looking for the job because they have people who helping them. But in my case, I had nobody. And I had to find a job.
You had your daughter.
I had my daughter. But I'm saying that I didn't have nobody outside who would say, oh, you know, Veronica, we can help you. So I have to find a job because my daughter at that time was 12 and I need to support her. So I start learning English, and the way how I was learning, I had a big dictionary. That time we didn't have cell phone or Google or, you know, all those apps. So I had a big dictionary, and I would just pick a word starting from A and see what I like, and I will just memorize it. Watching TV, listening to the radio, and after 6 months, I got my driver's license, so I find that I can take classes at adult education. It was Lincoln School, still cannot say it. And after 3 months, my first job was at Walmart, and I just started practicing, talking, getting more confident with my English, talking to the people, and here I am.
And so you were making pastries and you were probably giving them to friends and friends were telling other people.
Right. This was another. Of course, I got married and we'll make something. And my husband and his family, they were like, oh, where did you get this? And I'm like, no, I made it. You made it. I'm like, yeah. So no, everybody can make that. I'm like, no, not everybody. Everybody can make cinnamon rolls or muffins or cupcakes, but this is a special pastry. So I never thought it special, but I guess for some people, it can be special.
Well, it is special because I have made pastry by hand, and my hands get so warm that I end up melting the butter. So then it defeats the whole purpose of puff pastries because you don't have that layer of butter. So it takes a lot of skill and finesse to create this.
You know, the skill, you're right, Stella. I start working by hand, rolling my puff pastry by hand, and oh my gosh, I ruined so many batches before I got to the right consistency. So the butter has to be the right temperature. The butter has to match temperature of the dough. So if the dough is colder than butter, then the butter will just get kind of chunky. So that's why it's a skill of consistency, repetition. You just do it again and again and again. And another thing, it doesn't matter how well you got your skill, how well you roll the butter, but when you do it by hand, you cannot get to precise layers. That's why I got my dough sheeter, my big helper, and helps me to create perfect layers.
Yeah, so you just have more evenness. And the other thing is, I think if you roll it too much too, the dough gets too doughy.
Too warm, it melts the butter. So you have to work very fast. Yes, I work very fast, so because you know it cannot sit. And sometimes, and that's another thing, like in my shop, I try to get done everything before I open the door. If something I didn't finish, I don't work during when my customer's here because I cannot get interrupted. I cannot let my dough sit even for a minute.
Well, for someone who wants to open up a bakery, and I know that you've gone through a lot of, I would say, challenges. We all do as we grow in our business, as we grow in our career. What advice do you give somebody that may think about, and you can talk about yourself, because you have a certain tenacity that I see in you that can come in, day out at 5 o'clock in the morning when I would rather be in bed, and yet you very meticulously go through and do everything precisely.
I think my first advice would be, if you love what you do, don't think about money. Some people open the business because they want to make money. In my case, I opened the business because I want to give people love. I enjoy when people come to my place. I like to visit with the people. So my advice is, love what you do. If you don't love it, I don't think business will be successful.
Veronica obviously loves what she does, making our world a sweeter place. Veronica, thank you for letting us come into your sacred baking space. Be forewarned that customers love her pastries. She opens Monday to Friday from 8 to 2, but keep in mind she closes when she sells out. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been provided by Parker Brown. Additional funding comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.